Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
Bring it up, Jake. You handsome son of a gun. Like 20 games right now. Not like 20, like six, but still awesome. Major League Baseball here on opening day. And we've got bets on a lot of them here. Just in case people have money on games and they're watching us right now as a second screen experience, or maybe as your first screen. And we appreciate that very much. We've got Greinke getting out of a bases loaded jam at the top of the first inning. That's good for us, Tyler, with our bet on Kansas City here. So 0-0 going to the bottom of the first. DeGrom gets through the top of the first with no incident. Our Rangers have a man on first with two outs against Aaron Nola. The Rays with a 1-0 lead on the Tigers in the sixth. The Cubs all over the Brewers, 4-0. That is in the top of the eighth. The Reds and the Pirates, scoreless in the bottom of the first. The Jays and the Cardinals just underway, literally in the top of the first. George Springer up for the first at bat of the season there in that game. And we are in the bottom of the first. Sandy Alcantara, no issues in the top against the Mets. And now Max Scherzer takes the mound against the Miami Marlins. First batter of the game is on. And Arias single off of Max Scherzer. So runner on first, nobody out here. We bet the Marlins, and I've got a bet on the under as well, Ken. And that's your scoreboard in Major League Baseball. 38 degrees right now in Staten Island. I'm Nick Costas.
No, that was really good. I wanted to filibuster to open the baseball spreadsheet up. I was looking at something earlier today, and part of our awards handicapping that we do on the show all the time for baseball. And one of my favorite things always is when, like, because we just had Pizzola on and he hit on this too. I don't know if he did it on the air actually. Okay, well, I'll kind of like, we'll kind of mix all this stuff in. Basically, like, a lot of betting content or even sports content, but we'll say betting content because, like, that's kind of our thing, is a lot of like repeating stuff that like other people that you think are smart say. And I don't mean like picks, or this is not about like people copying Nick and I or whatever. Just like, oh, well, like, you should always do this, or you should never do this, or like, you know, don't take points like when it's plus one or plus two, just bet the money line. Like, there's like all these, like, there's like 100 axioms that I think a lot of people just like to regurgitate and say. And some of them are true, but some of them aren't.
Betting
and there's
analysts.
Always like a part of me. Yeah. And there's just always a part of me that likes to do my own work. And it's like, okay, rather than just take this thing at face value that everyone's like, no, just do that. Like, you should always do that. Or like, you should never parlay would be like a really good one, right? Like, parlay is what stupid people do. Like, blah, blah, blah. Okay, DJ, have you ever thought about it for 5 seconds? And it just, if you just kind of like look at stuff yourself, you're like, oh, actually not the way stuff works. Like, actually not that. So one that comes up all the time, and I saw it today twice, actually, it's like people were offering advice for baseball season. But you could apply this to any sport.
I can't wait for this, whatever this is.
Well, no, it's not.
The advice being offered for baseball season. I almost want to, like, take, like, bets on what this is going to be.
No, it's not. It's you could apply this to any sport season, honestly. But I don't know if it's right for any of them, really. And the number one piece of advice in one place that I saw was, like don't overreact to what happens in the first couple games, right? Don't overreact to what happens in the first couple of games. And I think a lot of people hear that, or they see that and they go, yeah, that's right. Don't overreact. Of course. Cause like, what, you know, let's say like the Yankees start 0-3, but they had a really high win total. Like, they'll get it back, whatever. Well, the really funny thing about awards, especially, is actually in baseball awards, I am trying to overreact as much as humanly possible. And that's actually like the way better way to go. So I was looking at a stat that Baseball Reference keeps. It was invented by Bill James, called game score. And that's how they score pitching starts, or how he scores pitching starts. And I don't really care whether like it's that effective or there's a better way to do it. That's not the point. The point is it's publicly available, so I can use it and collect it. And the really funny thing is for Cy Young winners in both leagues, like, you can use it to help answer the question, do Cy Young winners have to like kill it out of the gate? You know, it's a long season. Don't overreact to what happens. But even in, you know, like, what's their average game score for April what's their highest game score for April? Like, do they have to have a performance where they're particularly excellent early on to either put themselves in the minds of voters or just to even demonstrate that their stuff is particularly good that season? And so it's so funny because, like, in several places, and we hear that for all sports, it's like, well, like, don't overreact to what we saw the first couple weeks. And when you look at these game scores, you're like, oh, actually, it's the exact opposite. That's the worst piece of advice for this. I'm sure maybe it's good for betting money lines or totals or whatever. I have no idea. But for Cy Young specifically, there's like a kind of a minimum threshold where it's like in your first couple starts, even like here's how I would put it. If you're bad twice in a row to start the year, there's basically no precedent for you ever winning Cy Young, even twice in a row. That's like the next 6 days. So like it's going to be April 7th and somebody's going
to
be eliminated.
I was told almost. Not to overreact. Yeah,
right. But don't overreact after one or two games. Actually react as strongly as you would react to anything. There's basically only one historical example, I think. Is it even one? Where's Robbie Ray? He's always the answer to this question. I think there's really like only like one historical example of a pitcher having a below average game score twice to start the season, like the first two starts and winning. Two starts. Most pitchers that win the Cy Young Award start, what, like 30, 35 games, somewhere in that range, basically. And in two, you're below average twice. You're not going to win. Like, that's it. That's the end. And of course, things aren't that absolute. Like, you're at some point, someone will do it. But it's just so interesting how much, like, even just the first two in a season that takes absolutely forever is so predictive of who's going to end up winning. And then over the first month, the pitchers that win, and this is a little more explainable because figures start about five games this month, maybe six because of like the weirdness of we're starting at the end of a calendar month. You have to have like a game score in a game that's absolute, like a top 1% game score at least once. Like you have to have like one start where it's like, okay, like, you know, eight innings, shutout, 10 Ks, whatever, like eight innings, no runs, 10 Ks. Like, okay, like that's, now, like, this person is maybe going to be something that's going to be a thing this year. That's a phenomenon that we're going to have to follow. So I just thought that contrast was really interesting. So, like, when you're watching starting pitcher, like, everybody's, you know, number one starting pitcher, unless they're injured, is pitching today because all the teams play today for the first time on opening day in forever. And if they don't, and, you know, a team has two really good pitchers, they'll pitch tomorrow or whatever. And actually, the starts are, like, quite meaningful. And the starts the first couple weeks are quite meaningful, especially if you're bad. Like the pressure gets ramped up immediately just using historical comps in terms of like, if you're just bad today, then like, if you're bad again, like that might kind of just be it. And like, think about how slow the market's going to be to move. What if DeGrom's bad twice? like, think about what happens in the market. What if Otani's bad twice? Think about what happens to the market, like resistant to move, probably won't move very much. And just using the history of the award. And again, it's like there's always going to be historical outliers, but I always like to say, like, I just like to play the probabilities. Like, how does it tend to go? And the way it tends to go is like, you got to at least be okay out of the, you don't have to be great. You got to at least be okay. And you got to be pretty good. And in the first month, you have to actually be like pretty awesome at least once. And so I just think it's funny because I think in all sports, like commonly accepted advice is just like, well, don't overreact. So like, you know, the first couple weeks, like, oh, you know, like whatever's bad will become good and whatever's good will become bad again. Be like, actually, like I'm sure people thought the Kings would be bad after the first month of the NBA season. And, you know, they actually clinched a playoff spot for the first time in forever last night. And they light a giant laser beam now. And it's like pretty awesome. And that the Thunder wouldn't make the playoffs. You know, and you go down the list basically in terms of that Brook Lopez wouldn't win defensive player of the year, probably a ton of resistance to that the first couple months as he got off to a really good start. And actually those things were really real and they happened. So in baseball, it seems like what you get from a pitching standpoint, especially the first month of the season, but even in the first couple starts, tends to matter a lot. I just thought that was really interesting.
Speaking of great out of the gate, I have good news.
I was hoping that
another base hit and another run batted in for a hashtag our MVP, Adley Rutschman.
They got 10 runs against the Red Sox. It's the seventh inning in Boston.
Seventh inning.
Are the Red Sox going to be awful this year?
I hope so.
They might be really bad, right? Because the division's incredible. Like, what if the Orioles are good?
Jake?
Help.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox are going to be absolutely terrible. It's why I bet the Orioles 25-1 to win the division, because I think the Red Sox are going to be terrible, and the Orioles were priced with the Red Sox, and that was just wrong.
What was the Red Sox win total? 70 some?
78 and a half.
Whew. Well, I'm not supposed to overreact. Alex Cora can't cheat. I guess. Yeah.
Now that Alex Cora can't cheat, I mean, who knows?
Maybe those big ass bases. That's probably what it is. Yeah.
But like, it's over, right? Like Rutschman just.
He just wins. It's a wrap. MVP doesn't really work like that. You got to be really good like every game for 6 months. You don't want to overreact, but you also like kind of need a little bit more substance than this to make a judgment.
I couldn't even get it out.
That's it. It's all over.
I think Rutschman just wins. He just wins MVP. Game like over. That's it. It's done.
MVP race over.
It's like, man, March still going.
March actually goes for a little bit more. Yep, that happens.
So I have the Yankees game ended, and here locally in the tri-state area, I get the YES Network, right? The Yankees broadcast network. And they just showed the Anthony Volpe post-game press conference basically in its entirety. And don't have the volume on, obviously, because we're doing the show. And Volpe is like this, like obviously young rookie, like good looking kid, clean shaven, like shortstop of the New York Yankees, got the world by the proverbial cojones, right? Got a pretty good life right now. So here's my question. If you could be, let's say a rookie, whatever, like a neophyte in any sport, any city, any team, any position. For shortstop of the Yankees feels like it's pretty good. What would you choose and why? And the answers could be as varied as you want. Ken?
Was this baseball only? I missed the first part. I got everything else.
Any sport. Okay. Any sport you want.
Well, I wouldn't pick NBA because like when you're really tall, you don't live as long. So I don't want to do that.
But you could be like but Marquise Noel like just point, declared for the draft. He's my height.
Point guard for the Lakers. Or something.
That's pretty good.
Pretty awesome. Okay, that's definitely way up there. Let me think before I register that answer. Let me see if there's something else.
And like college should be up there also. Like star recruit going to college, I think should also be like part of this.
If I was a star recruit in a sport, where would I really want to? Well, I guess if it's like, well, now if it's NIL money, yeah, maybe like, you know, quarterback for Ohio State or something, probably be pretty good. Probably pay pretty well.
I was going to say USC.
I'm gonna stick with point guard for the Lakers. I'll give you two things that are pro that. It seems like with the current state of player v team relations, you know, if I just kind of like, my heel hurts, I think I get like a couple weeks off. I just have to say that basically, and there's like, oh well, let's take it easy. Let's sit a couple games. Don't play on second night of back to backs. Okay, great. My entire salary is guaranteed. I'm a guard, so I'm at least like a normal human height. So I'm probably going to hopefully make it to my 70s would be great. And I get to live in Los Angeles and I play for the Lakers. I think that's the win. I'm going to go with it. So basically I described like Austin Reeves. That's basically what I just like described. Something like that. That's what I'll go with.
Bill Matz will get the next word here. Bill, I'm guessing you will pick a first line center for the Edmonton Oilers and their great lineage.
I am absolutely picking third string quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. My health stays intact and I live in Las Vegas.
So you're the Garber baby.
Yes. Yes. I would love
you want to be you want to be Chase Garbers. You're Chase
Garbers.
You want
to be third string because you definitely don't want to
third. So there's no way I can get in there and get killed. No. Roided up Transformers coming up trying to kill you? No, I'm good. I'm good. I'll get my Transformers.
It's like roided up Transformers. Like a Miles Garrett steps to the line of scrimmage as a mild-mannered human being, and then he turns into like a helmet swingtron.
Yeah. You take Optimus Prime, you open the gas tank of the truck, and you just put HGH in it. That's just how it works. That's just how you close the gas
tank. It's not diesel fuel. It's a human growth hormone.
Right.
Well, it's like, do you remember when Megatron would transform into a gun and like Starscream would shoot it? This time, like Garrett, like or like it'll be like another player on the Browns, like John Johnson, will transform into a helmet and jump into Miles Garrett's hand, and then he hits you over the head with it.
No, I thought you were going to say that Megatron would transform into a syringe, and then Starscream would inject himself. you know, shortstop roided up Transformers.
A lot of pressure though.
You got to play a lot. The season takes forever though.
It does.
No days off.
No days off.
Yeah, you got to play every April to September. You're playing every day. No, I'm good. I like summer.
What do you make of all, like, I don't even know if people are like, whatever. Like, people in the Boston media are like, Belichick's on the hot seat.
What? Okay, whatever. Great.
Fake news.
Okay.
We'll talk Final Four on the other side. Yes, I mean, all right, we'll talk Final Four on the other side. UConn, Miami, San Diego State, and Florida Atlantic.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.